advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King. King.
You say funny things.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Sofa King Podcast. We are here today with the El Yucateco crew, the two bandidos, I guess, from El Yucateco. They are what is your titles? Let's say you marketing.
We're the marketing geniuses of the world.
You gotta put the mic in your mouth.
Super close.
I am Sarah Cook. I'm the integrated marketing manager for El Yucateco.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy Colella, Vice President of Marketing for El Yucateco.
Okay, so we have the marketing gurus
of El Yucateco.
Of El Yucateco here with us today. They are one of our sponsors if you haven't heard one of our shows before. If you're picking this one to listen to for your first episode, congratulations, you have a sponsor episode.
Yes.
So we're here talking to them today. We went to an escape room at Real Escape Bakersfield. If you're in the Bakersfield area, you can check them out. And they are going to float later.
They are
at Salt 7.
What are you guys looking forward to the float? Are you dreading it? Are you neutral? What do you think of the float, the pending float circumstance?
I haven't thought about it, to be honest.
I'm curious to hear your after effects. Yeah.
There was no way not to melt your makeup and get your hair wet before you went to the float tank. So it was scheduled for afterwards, but it would be cool to hear your thoughts.
I thought that's what you already attempted to do.
In
the escape room.
Yeah. Swamp cooler. Yeah.
They're also struggling through the Bakersfield summer heat, which is not pleasant.
Yes. It's 104 degrees today.
I've lived here all my life, and I'm still not used to it. It sucks. But we are in a basement where it is still not – it's not too bad, but
– It's not too bad.
It's enough.
And it's a freshly renovated basement. Yep. I say these two because I did very little, but Brad and Brad have been killing themselves for the past week getting the studio upgraded.
Dave sanded the shit out of a 4-foot by 8-foot section of the basement.
There were two sections. And I sanded all the parts that my Wookiee arms reached that yours
by an 8-foot by 8-foot. Yeah, he could reach the parts I couldn't reach. So he helps me in the shower like that too.
Do we want to start out with some questions? We started off. We had a Facebook post about questions that our fans might want to ask them. We did have some pretty good questions. There were some asshole questions where.
Of course there were. Yeah. It's the fucking internet. How were there not asshole questions? Like, you can watch a cute YouTube video of a puppy cuddling a duck, and at the bottom it's like, that puppy's a cunt. It's like, what's wrong with people? It's like the sweetest video, and you look at the comments, and it's like the most awful thing in the universe. I don't understand people.
Man, Dave went straight to the C word.
You've obviously never read YouTube comments.
You've never read
I'm trying to keep it real.
It's like a Reddit.
So one question is, I'm going to start with the hard-hitting question. If you were caught driving 100 miles per hour, this is from Steve Baker, do you think you could get out of it by explaining that you had a major El Yucateco craving that needed satisfying?
If they were an El Yucateco fan and I had any hot sauce on me, then I could probably get away with it by giving them a bottle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Nice.
Yeah.
He asked a little bit more serious one, which actually is a good question. Any plans to combine El Yucateco with products from other companies? And then he sort of cites like Taco Bell taco shells. And then he says Cheetos, Fruit Loops, or toilet paper, which are probably bad ideas. Yeah. I'm not into marketing, but I don't think those are good ideas. But then he says pre-made Bloody Mary mix, which might be a good idea.
Probably not the toilet paper or the Fruit Loops.
Yeah, that was an asshole comment.
It's probably not a Fruit Loop pair.
No.
Yeah, licensing is more part of our long-term strategy.
So so tell us a little bit about the background. I know it started as a family company. Is it still a family company?
So
what's the breakdown on that?
Run by the kids from the original It's all still family owned and operated. They own their own habanero fields. And it originally was the dad. His name is Don Priamo. And his father started out growing peppers and selling them in market and with his wife. And then his Don Priamo started when he was a kid selling them in market and was looking for a way to, you know, lengthen the process and get more out of the peppers. He wanted to, you know, the peppers would go bad.
No, there was too a preservation
in
issue.
Yeah, it was a preservation issue. They just would go bad before they would sell. So it made more sense to turn something into the peppers, make something out of the peppers. So he started making sauces with the peppers.
And the stuff was growing in the Yucatan Peninsula, but then he was correct. Selling it in Mexico City.
Correct.
So it was kind of, how long of a haul is that? Do you know?
About a half a day.
Okay. Because I know.
That's by mule.
Yeah. Well, back then.
Yeah. Because we're talking, what was it, 68?
68 is when he started making the sauces.
So in Mexico, he's probably driving like a 40s car. Like,
that's cute. Or a mule. Straight up, like seriously.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We have to find that one out.
We need to go what?
Go find out what he was driving.
Go down there.
Yeah, we need to talk to him.
Next time I'm down there, I'll ask what he was driving.
Find out.
That is an important fact to me. I need to know.
I will make sure to ask next time I'm with him.
Yes, I'll appreciate it.
Okay.
It's going to bug me.
The master of weird facts.
Yeah.
I love your sauce, but what did he drive?
I'm just saying.
I promise.
Doesn't anybody else want to know?
No, now that you're asking, I do want to know.
It never occurred to me to ask.
Was it like a 1940 Ford coupe that he was pulling a trailer with? Like, I'm interested.
I'm thinking it was a 68 Camaro.
I think it was a DeLorean.
If it was a 68 Camaro.
Someone tried to tell me they didn't make DeLoreans
in 68. I'm pretty sure they didn't have a DeLorean.
Yeah, but guess what? But if you drive 88 miles an hour, you could have had a DeLorean.
That was somewhere in 87, I think.
Till he arrived in 1968 and started a hot sauce company.
Yep.
So you now think that Yucateco is started by a time traveler?
Yeah, it's part of Jawadism.
Yeah,
it all ties together.
So Amy, you might not know, we have our own religion. It's called Jawadism, and Jesus was a time traveler. So that's where Brent is getting our time travel facts from. So
perfect.
They talk about it a lot.
Did you know Doc Brown?
Yes,
Marty.
He's a prominent figure. Marty.
Oh, that is a good question. That's a question that's never been raised.
Brown, yeah.
Did Jesus know Doc Brown?
No, he knew Christopher Lloyd. There's some crossover with the actual actor. Yeah, there's a weird backstory. We don't want to get into it and stomp all over hot sauce time.
We're still writing our book.
Yeah. Okay.
Still writing the book. So next question.
A good friend of the show, Brian Ross, who does a YouTube series called Life Bites. He posted a question. I'm actually interested in the person, you. What road did you take to become a VP of marketing for a hot sauce company? And do you plan on social media marketing convergence? Oh, and will they let me intern?
Of course. Well, we did learn that Sarah went to hot sauce high school.
That's true.
So she
yes, Sarah went to hot sauce high school.
You got to work in a hot sauce store when you're a kid to end up being a hot sauce integrated marketing manager. You cannot do that.
That's true.
Are there hot sauce stores? Like, it just sold hot sauce.
That's
very much so.
Yeah.
See, we don't.
Everything about hot sauce that you would ever want to know. And then you end up working at El Yucateco because you pick the best of the best.
Right.
Makes sense.
I already found my hot sauce. I need no hot sauce store.
Yeah. So what about yourself before?
So I went a slightly different direction.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't go to hot sauce high school. But that was really cool that Sarah did, which is why she gets to work here.
What was the mascot at hot sauce high school?
A hot sauce bottle.
That's kind of weak. It should have been a pepper.
Oh.
Yeah. Pepper with hands.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to think of something better than that.
It's better than a hot sauce bottle. I'll keep thinking. You guys keep talking.
Yeah. That's going to bother him. I'm still worried about the car and what he drove. Now it's a mascot. We're thinking on things.
Could have been a taco. All kinds of stuff, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, while you guys work on that,
we are the masters of derailing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Job here.
My background was at traditional marketing with Fortune 500 and Fortune 50 CPG companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worked with brands like Kingsford Charcoal, Campbell's, Clorox, and companies like that.
Oh, wow.
All retail brands and all grocery type brands. for the last 15, 17 years.
Okay. That's awesome.
That is awesome. So were you a hot sauce fan before?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. So just throw this in there. How'd the opportunity come up? It's kind of a, I don't know, like if I'm working with other brands, is it just another brand to you? Like you figure out, or is it a, I mean, originally, I know you like the product. Yeah.
Originally it was just another brand.
Yeah.
Honestly. So when you were working with all those larger brands, and this was about 4 years ago when I first met them, the big opportunity that all of those brands were interested in was the Hispanic space.
Yeah.
Because that's where everybody, you know, wanted to learn the most. And that was where the big opportunity was. And I was in a corporate environment and that's what everybody was most interested in. And so that's what everybody was looking at. And that's what all the big high level strategic conversations were focused on. Yeah. And there was this brand and it was this small, little, quiet, sleepy Hispanic brand that kept popping up. And so a friend of mine was poking around and doing some work for him and asked me to take a look at it. And it was really interesting. It had this really strong cult following, but it was itty bitty.
Yeah.
And nobody was doing anything with it, but everybody seemed to really like it. And there was a really interesting opportunity behind it.
Yeah.
And that's how I met them. Then I met the family and I met the U.S. company that was distributing it and doing the sales behind it. And I fell in love with both companies.
Oh, wow.
And
that's cool.
Got to know them and I did the opportunity gap analysis for them and just, they're amazing. They're both amazing companies. And that's cool. How I started working with them.
Someone had mentioned, you said cult following. Like, I think it's weird because even myself included, I'm like passionate about Yucateco hot sauce. Mm-hmm. Like I literally like hand it to people, put it in people's hands, talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's a part of my daily life. Like it's breakfast, lunch, dinner. Like it's in my pocket.
It's like me and King Cobra.
People pick hot sauces. Like someone commented on Facebook. I don't know who it was. They pick hot sauce like they pick sports teams sort of. Yep. Like they're so hardcore about it. Like,
somebody commented that actually.
Yeah. I was at a restaurant the other day and someone tried to like slide me the hot sauce and I was like, no, I wouldn't dare. It felt like adulterous. Like I'm not going to have this hot sauce because I have Yucateco on me. Like I'm not going to do it. And it's, I don't know what creates that. What do you think creates that bond with people? Why are people so like patriotic, for lack of a better term, about a hot sauce? Like, why does that happen? Where that, you don't go like Cheerios, bitch. Like that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? But like about Yucateco,
no, mini
like,
wheats.
I'm like, I will argue to like, have you tried El Yucateco? Like, I know you like X, Y, or Z, but have you tried this? Like, cause I'm that passionate.
Typically, there are very few products that people are that brand loyal about. Hot sauce is one of them.
Yeah, it's almost like clothing. Like how people are brand loyal to clothing is how they are to this product. Alcohol. Yeah, beer,
or alcohol,
detergents, soap, and detergents. Anything scent related.
True. I will yell tie it in someone's face. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Downy.
Yeah.
Anything scent oriented, people are very loyal to.
Yeah.
There's very few things that you're hardcore about. And it's flavor, scent, clothing.
Feel, tactile.
Yeah, but hot sauce is one of them. And it's usually the flavor first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become loyal to the brand once they've interacted with the flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to say, because like the XXX, like it's warm. And so some people can't handle it. And I have to say, like, the flavor's worth getting past the heat. Like you acclimate to it. I couldn't just eat it in the beginning.
No, and we've talked about this, and I ate the spoonful of it just a couple episodes ago. Even though it is warm, the flavor is awesome. Like I love the flavor. Like it is a really, really good flavor. And that's how, you know, like people, to me, this is something new also. I just getting into, you know, branding and marketing our podcast, seeing kind of the same thing with this hot sauce. Like we're kind of podcasts are kind of weird. Some people don't know how to get a hold of them or listen to them or just don't want to take the time. But then you build this brand loyalty and it becomes this amazing thing. And to watch people, you know, tag us in posts where they're like, hey, this is the hot sauce I keep in my purse now. And I'm like, what? You keep hot sauce in your purse? But that's like a normal thing. Like people do that. I wasn't in the world of hot sauce carrying, you know.
There's a waitress in Colorado that messaged us. She keeps it in her little smock thing. and gets people at the table to try it. Like if they reach for hot sauce, she like runs over the cape and was like, wait, don't do it. Yeah. Like, and that's, and she found out about the sauce because of us. It's, I just, there's that luchador in London, the guy with a basket full of hot sauce. It's like, you got a Sophie King podcast to thank for this. It just blows my mind. I mean, the good thing I feel about it is I'm not pitching something that I don't believe in. Though. Yeah. Like I am so, you guys don't know, like, I really am hot sauce crazy about Yucateco hot sauce. You
one thing that I regret is that when you sent the giant 6-foot Yucateco bottle standee that we have down here in the studio, when it showed up, I was at the computer shop the day it showed up, and I should have recorded because Brent looked like a 7-year-old on Christmas. I mean, he was, I have never seen him so happy in my entire life. And then he opened it and he was like, oh my God. Like he was like, he turned it into Napoleon Dynamite.
It's the Triple X.
He, I was like, wow.
It was my red rider.
And the mistake Sarah made is telling him that you guys kind of like make those, they're not mass produced. It's kind of like,
we made that special for Brent.
Yeah.
She's lying. There's like 100 of them all over the place.
There's not.
Amy shakes her head.
I know there's probably more of them, but like once he found out, I was like, oh, this is like, they order them out special when they want to send them out to people. Mm-hmm. And we got this one. I mean, so excited.
Like, I have a little Yucateco collection. I have all the little mini bottles. I have every flavor that are not to be touched. Cause I'm like, those are hard to get. You can't get those. Like,
Those are actually hand filled. There's like a machine that do those. And we have to order them, and then they're like coveted, those little baby bottles, because people go nuts.
If you guys
them.
Could somehow economically change the production process of that, like
it's the next machine that's supposed to be ordered.
Yeah, that would be huge for you for sure. People ask for those all the time, and I'm like, man, I could mail those to you, but it's
Brent doesn't want to get rid of them.
Yeah. I only held on to five. I got five of them.
We can give it away.
Packed like 144 bottles to a case.
I have a weird question.
That's how small.
It Why the variation them. Amongst the Chipotle and jalapeno hot sauce bottles in size and bottle style versus the habanero? Is it just a different manufacturing?
The habanero, no, they are manufactured with us, but those are not peppers that we grow. So those are peppers that
the
are
jalapenos
outsourced.
Are outsourced peppers. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But why not keep the same bottle though? You guys changed the bottle too because of that.
Because it's a different pepper.
Just like
it's a different line.
So if the jalapeno is taller, it's not confused with the habanero.
Yeah, it's different heat
ones.
Levels. Oh, okay. It's different. It's a whole other line family of pepper. It's a whole different thing altogether.
We've been confused about that since the beginning. I'm always like, why is that bottle taller? Like
well, because we're gonna stack the cases, and we're like, that's not gonna work. Yeah, that's the only time it really comes into play. Yeah.
And when I see it.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, we're coming out with a different line of habanero that are going to be fruit-based flavors, and they're going to be in the 5-ounce bottles as well.
People are going to love that.
Oh, that's actually really funny because one of the comments on our Facebook was from a listener named Duke Amen, and he said, when am I going to see peach habanero or plum blackberry habanero sauce? Let's show some imagination.
There's a pineapple, a mango, and a raspberry that is in R&D right now about to come out, and there's also also a sriracha habanero in R&D right now, almost finished. And then there are 3 grilling sauces that are almost finished in R&D right now. One is this recipe is on our website. It's an orange habanero grilling glaze.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a tamarind habanero grilling glaze. And what is our third? Oh, a coconut mango grilling glaze.
Huh.
I'll sign a waiver if some blank bottle showed up in the mail.
Brent would cry.
Samples may be able to arrive.
Yeah.
Those should all be coming out sometime within the next year, hopefully.
I could see pineapple and mango, but the raspberry threw me off. That
threw me off, too,
That's
probably good, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I tried it on, I know this is silly. I was being silly, but I tried it on chocolate cake, and I tried it on pancakes, too.
We actually do a chocolate sauce.
Oh, cool.
With the mole, black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The mole sauce.
Well, the black's the best. So.
Right. That makes sense.
Once you go black, you don't go back.
That happens.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody thinks that's my favorite. It's driving me crazy.
Well, and
it's
if you look on our website, the raspberry, our triple hot mixes with raspberry preserves really, really well.
Hmm.
And then the black sauce mixes with chocolate to make like a chocolate sauce, like a chocolate fondue.
Right.
Yeah.
Really, really well.
When I first started with the company, I was trying it on everything. I had gum out. I'm pouring the cream sauce on the gum. I'm like, I want to see what this tastes like. This combination may be amazing, and people don't realize it. People tell us all the time they put it on their ice cream.
Don't put it on the gum.
Gum's a little weird.
Gum was not a good idea.
Actually, it wasn't too bad.
It didn't, when you were doing all that, it didn't make you cry, did it?
No, not like Brent made me cry at lunch.
Of all the things she did, she never cried until today.
Yeah.
And for the record, Brent did make her cry.
Yeah, that really happened.
Tear free at El Yucateco.
Let's say the hot sauce made you
cry. Even all the way through hot sauce high school, she didn't cry.
That's true.
Yeah, all of a sudden. Yeah. So we went to lunch at Lengthwise today, a local brewery, microbrewery here in town. And would you dip just your corner of your crouton in this?
Brent says, here, try this.
Yeah.
They're hot sauce people. What do you want? I didn't know. It's going to make her cry.
You're just a ruthless, horrible hot sauce host is what you are.
Capsaicin extract is nothing to mess with.
Of 1,000 Scoville.
No. 1 million.
Oh, 1 million. Yeah. Oh, I was wrong. I don't know anything about that.
Also good reason why we don't use capsaicin extract in our sauces.
No, it's just, there's no reason to be hot for no reason, you know?
Like, and that's the key. Like a lot of people on Instagram will like tell us like, oh, you should try this hot sauce. It's like, it's so hot. You can't even eat it. And why do I want to eat it? Like that's
horrible. Don't eat it.
Like exactly. It's like, so because they just do that. They'll put just flat out extract into some medium
hot sauce.
I'm not interested.
So what's your take on that? I know you just said that's why you don't use the capsaicin. So what do you think, why do you think people, I mean, is it just like a manly thing? Like, oh, it's so hot, I'm just going to eat it.
The adrenaline rush.
I don't think it's a guy thing. I think that it's just a whatever. It's an adrenaline thing.
Just a challenge.
A challenge, yeah. Like how hot? I can eat this because it's hotter and you can't eat this.
Have to be a guy to be stupid.
It helps.
That's true. It does help. Yeah, it does help.
Anybody can be stupid.
Yeah. That makes sense.
There is an addiction to capsaicin. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's a legit.
So if you try it and you kind of keep doing it.
Yeah, and everybody wants a higher.
I've been all happy and like fanboy this whole time. Mm-hmm. Turns out I'm an addict.
Yeah.
Like legit.
Well,
can you put stickers that say addict?
It did.
I'm bragging about my problems.
Yeah, it did.
They're not lying.
Yeah. Well, it helped you quit meth at least. So you're just hooked on.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Yeah.
I get way less shit done. My teeth look a lot better.
Yeah, teeth look a lot better and you're getting things. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I only quit 3 days ago, if I'm being honest. I'm
not. Cool.
That's how we got the studio done.
People actually do, and you'll see this too, even with our sauce, and we don't use the extracts or anything like that. People do end up leveling up with heat.
Going
right.
So,
well, and that's what Brent did. He loved the flavor of the triple X, and he just kept eating it, and now he can eat hot stuff, and I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it.
A lot of people will start. People who are usually fans of the green sauce eventually will cap out and move on to the triple hot.
Yeah.
After a while, because it's just not hot enough.
That's exactly.
After
what
a while.
No. Right.
It's a gateway sauce. Green is a gateway sauce.
Yeah. You start with the green stuff always as far as gateway.
I tried to smoke it.
And then you're eventually going to end up with triple hot, you know?
Yeah. We get messages all the time. Oh, you changed the way you're making it. You've changed the formula.
It's not hot enough anymore.
No.
You know what's weird? If you take a week off though, like if I don't have it, like there's not an opportunity, but that's why
it suddenly feels hot.
It felt hot again. I was like, oh damn, I haven't had that happen. Like even at my best tolerance, I still get the hiccups. Like I get the hot hiccups every time and I'll sweat a little bit. But after I've been eating it all week, it's not hot in my mouth at all.
I like how you say I get the hot hiccups. Like that's a regular thing that everybody
that happens
has.
To people. That does.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, I ran a taco shop. People would be happen. All yep, like pink elephant cartoon.
It's not because they were drunk.
Well, it probably doesn't help
because beer kind of gives you the hiccups.
Yeah.
No, Shout out to King Cobra.
Yeah.
So there is
sponsored by King Cobra.
So there is a legit heat hiccup.
Premium malt beverage.
Yeah, people. There is a legit hiccup.
16 ounces.
You've never got the hot hiccups?
I've never got the hot hiccups.
You haven't lived, sir.
The instant sweat.
Watch YouTube and all of the hot sauce reviews. They all have hiccups.
They get hiccups.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what the hiccups tell me? That's too hot.
Exactly.
Like, your body's like, get this shit
I wait
out
for
here.
Like, I'm going to wait for you to eat it. And then as soon as
that's your diaphragm like, going, nope. Holy crap. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, instantly.
Yeah. No,
that's not good. Passing.
I'll pass. So I do, we were talking about meth a minute ago. Speaking of meth, a listener named Terry McGee.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, go
awesome
Terry.
Next question.
He's at his house right now cleaning. He just can't stop cleaning.
Right.
He's been cleaning for 3 days.
I'm really excited about this next question.
Terry McGee said, how is El Yucateco, it's actually a good question, how has it created such a passionate consumer base in an age where most advertisements go ignored? Because you were talking before the show
that you guys haven't
really done a lot of advertising. Like what do you?
Yeah, no. So the brand is almost 50 years old and up until 2 years ago, never spent any money in advertising.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Intentionally. And even as we did start advertising, we did it in a very casual way and very intentionally not non-traditional.
You guys are being real.
Yeah.
Like, you're being real.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is.
We have absolutely no intention of being obnoxious or lots and lots of big blatant ads or anything
like slamming the logos in your face constantly.
It's not about that at all.
That seems to be the trend nowadays, is like, how much can we get this in your face? You know?
And that's not what we're about. All of our advertising and all of our spend is really focused on education.
Yeah.
And sponsoring where it makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why we sponsor podcasts. That's why we sponsor other influencer groups like bloggers and
chefs
YouTube
and, stuff like that.
And
yeah.
chefs and places like that that are going to reach people who actually care about hot
yeah.
sauce and cooking.
Well, it's target marketing. I mean,
and things like that yeah. because it's.
People hate commercials now. Like when YouTube happens, like it kills.
Exactly.
Like, hey, you seen this video of kittens? And it's just all this ad brought to you by Tide. And you're like, God damn it, 5 seconds. Like, kills
yeah.
comedic time.
Right.
And you're like,
hey, you know
cares?
How hard it is to Rick roll somebody now?
It is.
Yeah. It's so hard to Rick roll
yeah, and like,
somebody.
Even like Hulu thing, it's like at least play a different commercial. It's just
I
like,
got right. locked into, so I pick songs for the end of the episodes. You know, I'll be sitting on the couch, I'm editing our episodes, and I'm looking around for songs. And I'm like, oh, I got the song. And I put in the song. And I'm stuck listening to this 2.5 minute Tide commercial.
Yeah, right.
No skip. Like,
yeah,
they
no.
paid enough money where I'm watching this thing. And the
eyelids
weird thing
over.
Is, though, you go to the next video and it's the same commercial.
That's what I almost wouldn't
they
mind
just
if they would
you.
Just change the commercial. I don't want
yeah.
to see the Toyota commercial
yeah,
one more time.
We are so not about forcing ourselves down people's throats.
No, you guys
right,
are smart.
Right.
I think podcasting, it's a captive audience. It's something someone chose to go listen to.
Right. Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing that we try to stay focused on is that we only release, you know, support things that we're passionate about.
Right.
Yeah. Like we do the float thing because we like floating. We yeah. do jujitsu because right. Brad and I go do jujitsu.
Right.
And we stick with things that we believe in or are passionate about. And, you know, there's a lot of fake stuff out there.
So on the YouTube ad thing, my question is when, like every time, like, cause most of the time you can skip the ad in 5 seconds. And most of the time I skip an ad in 5 seconds, I don't even know what the ad is for. It's just like a sleepy person waking up in bed with like a slow guitar music. And then
right.
I hit, and I'm like,
that was Folgers.
If you were a marketer
yeah.
and you were putting a commercial on YouTube, wouldn't you have the brand show up in the first 5 seconds? Doesn't that just make logical sense? I mean, everyone's going to skip in 5 seconds. Don't you at least want your brand presence
Geico
in those
has that
5 seconds?
It's like, this commercial's already over. Like, you don't have to skip
right.
for it because this commercial, that's smart. They did
that's
it.
Always
yeah.
the marketing
yeah.
thing that I
one.
Wonder. I'm like, because
yeah.
I skip and I never even know, or it's like a movie and it'll just be ding, 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 and like an action thing and then skip. Don't know what that was for.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So as a marketing person for the last, you know, 20 years of my career
mm-hmm.
and former creative director, creatives want to be creative. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
our job. We're supposed to be writing ads and...
In the hope,
well, but if you know
in the hope
that,
someone will watch it.
But
yeah.
if you're
exactly.
dropping the ad
but,
on
I mean,
YouTube...
I get that, but...
But
like, we're supposed to be writing an ad.
Right.
Somebody's
okay.
supposed to watch it.
They
I get
also
that nobody that watches it anymore, but we're
right.
supposed to create an ad.
It's like us, like, with the Fight Club Studios on the door. Like, we spent hours... Like doing it and making sure that it was right
yeah,
and down here late
gonna
at night.
Watch it.
You didn't care when you walked in. You
no.
walked right past. You
didn't
care.
I didn't even know that that's what it said.
Oh, there were doors. There were doors there.
Yeah,
there were doors. You know how long
First
it took us
all,
to
you
frame
the
those
door
doors.
Open.
Did you see the bouncer?
So how was I supposed to read it?
Do you see our ejection room over there in the corner?
No, I opened the door really slow. I walked all the way up and I let the crowd catch up behind me before I opened the doors, just hoping you would see it. And clearly, it didn't work.
No,
yeah. it doesn't matter.
There was no red carpet.
Yeah,
there was.
Mm-hmm. no red carpet. Speaking of, Kevin Brewster from Dark Side Graphics.
I was probably texting when I walked through the door, so how was I supposed to read
it? We all need those helmets with these things on them with our phones in front of us. So at least put our hands out and stop shit from hitting us in the face.
That's funny.
Okay, this isn't a question so much as a disturbing window into the soul of a listener named Ross Varner. All I know, this is the quote, all I know is I hope they're not using those tangerines in their sauce, exclamation point. I make my kids eat them and they cry, exclamation point. Guess that's what I get for trying to be a good dad.
So I was really confused when I read that comment. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? It's like, that's a friend of mine, actually. I was like, what is he talking about? Tangerines?
He just snorted.
He just snuffed.
It's like, I don't understand that comment.
So check it out. This is what's up. Because you're reading the comment and you didn't see the picture. So the picture that we posted. He's trying to make a play on Dim. I tried to give my kids those tangerines one time.
Habanero peppers, yeah.
So that's what happened there, Ross. Clever, but yeah, right over.
I thought it was just like some very bizarre confessional about him like forcing his children to eat too many tangerines or something.
So Ross, just in the future, black people don't get your jokes.
No, we don't. We don't understand. I speak for all black
people. He does, yeah, and Dave doesn't speak white.
That message was black man approved.
The half of me that's black does have the authority to speak for all black people. I go to the meetings.
Hey, can you grow a half afro? Like just
that's called a half row.
I can show you pictures of myself as a child with a big ass healthy afro that is red.
I forgot.
It is a half afro.
Dave's over 40. I bet if he grew an afro, it'd be a half row. It
probably would.
I'm getting the Jewish cat myself right now.
He's got the Sanford and Sons just in the back. It's like a wall on top of his head.
With a tube going down the back of it.
He looks like a pharaoh.
Yeah. Or it looks like an Indian feather hat. Sorry, we're getting off topic.
No, I do. I would grow a half row if I could.
Half row.
I love it when I
wish I was black.
I wish I was black.
Only one arm, slowly.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Okay, so Brandon Stebbin says, ask them what their craziest El Yucateco-related story is. Either theirs personally or something they have heard go down.
So maybe it was the time that Ron Jeremy gave us his phone number because he was talking to us about hot sauce. Or
yeah, there was
some color.
That is odd. Like, that's pretty odd. That is odd.
Yeah, so that happened. And
so where was this at?
Here. We were actually in L.A.
Yeah.
So in L.A., Ron Jeremy, you just bump into him? American. Like, did you bump into him, but you were still 3 feet away?
Then they bumped into him again.
There was much closer proximity.
Are you serious?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah,
that
happened.
Music Awards.
There's photos.
Oh, yeah, we've got photos. In fact, I still have his phone number in my phone.
Yeah.
You guys just walked into.
I stood further away. Sarah took the phone number.
It is Ron Jeremy. You can stand pretty far away.
She kept bumping. Phone number. I'm just going to point that out.
You guys walked into the biggest joke ever. Yeah. That was so good. Yeah. That was so good.
Oh, man.
If nobody listens to this episode, you are missing out. For sure.
That's pretty good.
For sure. That's pretty insane. What's number two? Because that's the first thing that popped into your head. That's the first thing that popped up.
There was a second one. We were talking about this in the car yesterday. There was another one.
Peter North. How do you guys keep running into these guys? This shit seems intentional.
We just show up. I mean, we showed up in your face.
You know, we're just there with hot sauce and...
I think it's making Brent a little. I think he's like getting too excited about the potential of what the hot sauce is going to do for him in the future. Yeah.
I'm eating the jerky that Jeff Chrisman.
Oh yeah, we do need to mention that. So
Jeff Chrisman from PrintDirtCheap.com brought us jerky all the way from Mexico that he made with El Yucateco sauce. Actually,
yes. So it's real Mexican cow made in the same city that El Yucateco is made in, which is
Merida.
And technically, cows are vegan.
I
want to point that out.
They eat
and you
grass.
Are what you eat, and cows are vegan.
So. Cows are vegan.
Yes, and he made it with the Caribbean, El Yucateco Caribbean sauce. Did you try it? You try the
Have it right here in front of us. We're going to try it right now.
So, yeah, and I took a piece because Brent lies about how hot things are.
Yeah. I learned that earlier today.
Yeah. After he made Sarah cry, I said, give me the piece. Like, I'll try it and make sure that it's
for the record, it's
hot.
Not intentional. Like, my kid will be like, is it hot, Dad? I'm like, no.
You know,
tears,
asshole.
Yeah.
not to me. No, it's not hot. No, the Caribbean's great. We actually have a friend in town. If you do live in our area, they own what's the tiki bar called?
Tiki Co.
And
20th and K.
Yeah, and he makes they're making
a michelada using Red Stripe and Caribbean Yucateco of some sort. They're trying to get it ready in time for you guys, but I think you guys are going to be out of town by the time it happens. But they don't open until 5:30 tonight.
Yeah, they won't open up early.
No, they said we could stop by. Actually,
they did actually.
But you'll be in a float tank. But if you get out of a float tank and you're not all soggy and you want to go to a tiki bar, message me and I'll make the tiki bar happen. Yeah.
We've got one for you. So, question that isn't really intended to be answered. Who's going to smuggle it into the U.S. if Trump builds the wall?
Oh, that is. We can't speak about that.
That's illegal activities.
Sorry, we can't address
it. It's going to happen.
They can't address it, but there's already a plan.
Yes.
Right. There's already a plan in place.
I'll just say it's a hot sauce tunnel in my garage.
We got you.
It's right here. We're fucking underground. I'll start the tunnel right here. Yeah. I already started digging just in case.
Yeah, we'll be like Arkansas and the CIA with cocaine.
Brent's going to be the El Chapo. Of hot sauce.
I'm helping out. Anything that's bootleg makes money, so I'm in.
Yeah,
right. In. That's right. Yeah.
Underground hot sauce.
Underground hot sauce railroad.
We're doing it.
Yep. The ambiance of this basement will totally be perfect for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we had a
I'm feeling the weeds of hot sauce.
Exactly what I thought about.
So a long time ago when we first started the podcast, my buddy Pete came on the show and we asked him, "What do you think about the studio?" And he said,
"Don't tell him what he said. Let them say." Yeah.
So, what do you think about the studio?
Silence.
Well, there's a corner over here that has.
She likes the corner.
Things that are a little scary.
Yes.
And if you walk into this corner, there's this rug that has this trap door hole.
There
that
is
we can't
a trap door.
There is.
And
hole.
If you look, it's just. I mean, you have to be here to experience.
We're gonna give Amy a rule, one word to describe the basement.
It's very weeds.
Weeds. It seems like there's drugs going on in here somewhere.
Weeds.
So Pete's response was, "It looks like shit." But we have done a lot of work.
Like
No.
Looks
we
very cool.
In the 4 days prior to you guys coming, we built a wall. We built doors.
Tyrone said he was going to build a wall.
Tyrone built a wall around white people because literally we're in this room and there's a wall around us.
Amy doesn't know who Tyrone is. You might want to introduce her.
Hold on, it's Tyrone.
Yo, what's up, white homie? How you doing today? How's my white people doing? I heard you guys from Arkansas. Y'all be killing black people, huh? Y'all kill some black people today.
No, they didn't kill any black people, Tyrone.
Oh, you're not from Arkansas. No.
We just live there.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. We're not from there.
Okay, good.
They did hand them pillowcases when they moved in, though.
Cool. Yeah, but we didn't accept them.
Good job.
Right.
Because we're not from there.
Pillowcases.
That's their hat.
You make a Ku Klux Klan joke.
That's right, sir.
You white cracker motherfucker. Okay.
Thanks,
all right.
Tyrone.
All right, yeah. I'm out.
All right.
Debt to white people.
Thank you, Tyrone.
Okay. We'll show you the storage room. You'll appreciate the basement more. Had you seen what the fuck is behind that wall, your one word description would have been different. Probably.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of the actual Facebook questions. And I do, in all honesty, need to give a shout out to Rob Gomez, because when we posted a list about a month ago, we asked for a list of topics, and listener Rob Gomez listed the thing that he wanted was
El Yucateco,
like, to talk
sauce,
about
huh?
El Yucateco, yeah. Talk about the history, talk about some stuff from El Yucateco.
So we talked Gomez a little bit about we talked a little bit about the father and you know, growing the peppers and getting them into Mexico City. So what's the rest of the history of how it came together? You know, so he's bottling them now. How does it get into the U.S.? I mean, I don't want to ask anything that you know might throw you guys off or anything, but how does it get from Mexico being a local sauce? And is it kind of branded as a sauce from Yucatan? Like, is that the whole? I mean, I know it's called Yucateco.
That means man from Yucateco,
right?
If you'd have read that thing I emailed you
from Yucatan.
Yeah. From Yucatan.
So the company that we actually work for is called Pidia Import Sales and Marketing. So it's an import company.
Mm-hmm.
And the father from our company met with the father from Yucateco back in 74. and he started importing the sauce into the U.S. in 1974. And he built the brand in the U.S. and owns the licensing rights and has been building the brand here all over the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico since 1974. And has basically been building the distribution all over the country since then.
It's impressive. On his own. No advertising, though, to do that. That's really impressive. Like, yeah.
So basically,
just handshakes.
Yeah, because before, I mean, before we got into this, I mean, it's already in Walmart and stuff. You know, like that was the thing. Like, there's no branding. Yeah. So
since 98, it's been in Walmart.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Little branding. Little known things, and it's in these big box stores. But
it felt cooler when I went to the Mexican market and got it.
Well, yeah, but it's actually a hidden treasure. I mean, you're getting something that's authentic. You know, usually you go to these places and it's these, you know, you're getting Tide, you're getting, you know, these things that are mass produced and huge quantities and that are huge marketing schemes. But you're actually getting something legit and that is, processed
still
by a family.
Family
who, you know, even the guy who runs it here in the U.S. is still part of.
Well, and he's a small family owned business.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that started.
The company that we work for is 45 employees. So it's a small family owned business.
We're a small family owned podcast, just for the record.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's two small Hispanic companies, one that's based in Mexico, one that's based here in the U.S., that grew this brand. One on the Mexico side, one on the U.S. side, really with very minimal resources and blood, sweat, and tears over the last 40 years, 45 years.
How big is it in Mexico?
It's smaller in Mexico as a brand than it is here.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. The growth on the U.S. side is what's driven the growth on the Mexico side. So
that's crazy.
In the last 4 years, as we have been... So when I came on board with them and started educating them on what the potential is for the category and started educating them on how to invest in it and grow the brand and what the potential for the total industry was, and they started investing and changing their strategy. When I first met them, there was 2,000 Facebook fans, and it was being run by somebody's sister or something in Mexico.
Yeah.
They had some export in Australia and a couple of other places, but that was it. So we started working on strategy and communication and what the long-term plan was, et cetera, et cetera. And now they are much more expanded with their global export. So much larger now in Dubai, Australia, all over the UK. We're working on Brazil and some other South American export. We're now going into the Caribbean. We're working on Japan and all over in that area. We actually manage the brand globally for them on the branding side and the strategy side. I've done some work for them from a PR standpoint. I've attended a press conference for them in London. I've traveled with them in Germany. So it's grown substantially in the last 4 years from that standpoint.
Awesome.
Yeah, but all of that is driven more from the U.S. standpoint, because outside of the U.S. follows U.S. trends more so than the Mexico trends. Hmm. So from when you look at like IRI and Nielsen, we're actually larger on the U.S. side than the brand is on the Mexico side.
So what's the difference in passion like from the U.S.? We've seen now that these people are passionate about hot sauce. Hmm. And it is a thing, you know, like it's a hobby almost for people.
Yeah.
They go to these conventions, you know, and people are super passionate about it. What's the difference between the United States and, say, Mexico, where it's kind of a lifestyle thing, and then also the UK and Australia? What are the differences there and how people approach it?
So in Mexico, it's just a lifestyle. Like you said, it's a lifestyle thing.
Yeah,
nobody really thinks about it. It's just part of your life, right? In the U.S., it's become a trend, partly because of culture and the Hispanic influence and Latino influence on the U.S., heat influence on the U.S. Hot sauce is the number one fastest growing condiment. It's what's driving the entire condiment category in growth. Hispanic is the fastest growing category within dry grocery, period. Yeah. So you've got two things impacting the growth altogether. and it's a huge growing trend, period. So, and it's become really, really popular in general. Like, there's over 1,500 different brands all over the country.
Wow.
And it's a very regional-based thing. So, and it's very highly fragmented. And Yucateco is in the top 10, and it's the only specialty brand in the top 10. Everything else is basically like what we would consider a vinegar-based.
Right.
Like a cayenne pepper, like the Tabascos of the world, the Cholulas of the world, and yeah. things like that, right? Franks, things like that.
Just because Dave used the C word earlier doesn't mean you need to do it.
Yeah, I know.
We'll have none of that. We'll have none of that talking.
Excuse my bad language.
I have to draw the line somewhere.
I know. It's horrible.
I got cunts to my left and Cholulas to my right.
It's just horrible.
Enough is enough.
Britt can't take it.
So sorry.
You're going to make him cry.
Yeah. It's only fair. We're even now.
So globally, back to that.
Thanks, Brent.
Oops.
So globally, and
she's not used to the derailing. We are. We can come back from it.
No. This is screwing her up. No, okay. ADD. It's good.
She's reading text messages as she's talking.
It's impressive.
It's very impressive. Multitasking. Thanks. It is multitasking. Yeah. She's a busy person. We have to understand. So taking their time to visit little us.
So globally.
King Cobra, that. King Cobra, everybody.
Back to the globally. They're really following U.S. trends because over in Europe, they always want to be, it's cool and watch what the U.S. does.
They hate us, but they want to be us.
Exactly.
So they hate us because they ain't us. Cause they ain't us.
Yep. Right.
So they're following whatever is cool in the U.S. So a lot of what is, a lot of what's cool here is picking up over there.
Okay. So that's how, I mean, that's how big it's getting. I mean, if it's picking up trends in other countries just because of the U.S., mm-hmm. that's a big thing.
I think it has a lot to do with culture. Like Hispanic culture, like they have good food. Like if you think about the rest of the world, Japanese have weird shit like octopus pizza and like crazy yeah. shit that most people aren't going to eat. America, yeah. we just steal everybody else's shit and make it.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, oh, tacos are good.
UK's fish and chips. We're not eating kangaroo, so that's off. You know, so it's like, I think maybe because of the family, like culture of the Hispanic culture and maybe even like some of the economic stuff of them, you know, maybe investing time in spending family time together where they may not have, you know, the economic opportunity in some places. They've developed really good food probably because they have get together, spend time together.
Well, and Mexican food.
Right.
When you're over in Europe, isn't Mexican food. It's Tex-Mex, which means that it's really American Mexican food.
Right.
That's kind of how it is here, too.
Exactly.
I mean, you can go find Mexican food.
It's ketchup with jalapenos diced up in it.
Yeah. It's horrible. Burritos and chimichangas. Yeah. It's not what you're going to eat in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's not what you're eating here.
Eyeballs and
like they're looking for Ortega and Old El Paso.
Right, right.
In London.
Yeah. When I went
to crazy.
Copenhagen a couple of years ago, there was this really horrible looking Mexican restaurant like two blocks from the Airbnb that we were at. And the friends I was with were like, and I was leaving. They were continuing to go through Europe, but I was flying back from Copenhagen. And they were like, hey, it's your last night with us in Europe. Like, you know, where do you want to eat? Like, we're in downtown Copenhagen. Like, you know, whatever looks good. I was like, I have to try that horrible Mexican place because we walk by it all week and it's like on the window
it's scary.
It's supposed to be like a sit down Mexican restaurant. And on the window, there was a sign for a Crunchwrap Supreme.
Exactly.
Like a Taco Bell.
But it was like this horrible.
They called it a Crunchwrap Supreme.
They called it a Crunchwrap Supreme.
That's the epitome of like fake Mexican food. Yeah.
It was bad. It was exactly as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Burritos, the Mexican soda.
Oh, uh-huh.
Big over there.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Not so much in Mexico anymore.
Like, oh, really?
It's because they're like, they got a hold of it.
Anymore.
Yeah, you guys got to be careful. You saw what happened to Pabst Beer. Like, Pabst Beer got so trendy that it was not trendy because it was so trendy.
It wasn't
trendy.
Cool.
Oh, PBR.
Didn't want it anymore. PBR, yeah. And they had to change, like, and make a new beer because they got so trendy and so popular that it became unpopular because it was too trendy. That's weird.
That's weird.
The hipster mentality for sure.
Yeah.
But that's why they're going after the king of flavor and not just throwing that out there to be trendy. It is actually.
Well, luckily everyone wants to be like us, so it won't matter. You're unaffected. Yeah. You're immune to it. Yeah. You got the Soap King podcast. That actually can't happen.
It won't happen.
Yeah.
So any other questions? I've been asking the last couple.
No, those are my questions.
Is there anything you wanted to add? I mean, did we miss anything?
Yeah, you guys are headed to the hot sauce convention in Long Beach. We'll talk about that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Promote that, because I can actually let this out today. So it'll go out so people can hear it, and maybe if they're in the LA area, they can go. So
LA Hot Sauce, it's going to be in Long Beach this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
It's a California Hot Sauce Expo. It's cahotsauceexpo.com. So we'll be set up in Rainbow Lagoon down in Long Beach, slinging hot sauce for 2 days. So you'll be coming to see us. If you're in this area, come see us. We'll be excited to hang out and take you through our hot sauce flight. It's almost like a tasting.
Oh, nice.
Amazing.
So
is that
what's going on there? There's just tons of
hot sauce.
Is there
music or anything, bands or anything like that?
Food and beer, you guys
said. They do a lot of contests. So they're doing like a Carolina Reaper pepper eating contest. It's insane to watch. It's like a Guinness sanction event.
Yeah. I almost want to go because I want to see people die.
I'm not participating. If you try to.
No, I don't care about you participating. I just want to watch them and make fun of them.
It's insane to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it intense?
Very intense. And people are shoving these peppers down their throat like.
Dying. They're just eating hot, like the hottest hot peppers.
Like, why do you torture yourself? Is Ron Jeremy there?
He might be, you know.
Well, he has Sarah's number.
Do you want me to call him?
Actually, Sarah has his number.
Actually, if you would, we could have him on the show. This is, yes, don't threaten me with a good time. I'll take it for the team. I will take it for the team.
Oh, the other thing too is Go Native is our summer promotion, and we've got all kinds of really cool prizes and stuff going on until, what is it, August 4th? So check it out at winningwitheliacateco.com. There's a custom painted surfboard as a grand prize, but there's all kinds of stuff every week being given out.
And then how do they enter? They just go to the website.
Go to the website.
So winningwitheliacateco.com. Check it out.
There's recipes and all kinds of really cool stuff on the website. And then if you just like scroll through it, it'll tell you how to enter.
Oh, cool. Going Native, right?
Yeah, Go Native.
Go Native. Okay. Yeah. I think I've seen that pop up.
Yeah, I was looking
website,
at it last night. That's really cool.
Yeah, there's cool stuff. There's t-shirts and camping gear and surf stuff. And it's all kinds of cool stuff.
Okay. And you guys are at @LUCateco_hot sauce on
Instagram.
LUCateco on Twitter. And now you can check on Facebook. So go there, like their page if you follow them on Twitter. And you guys don't post like stuff like crazy and spam everybody. So
you know, we actually like talking to our friends.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We
right.
love engaging with people. And
yeah.
People that have been around since I started 4 years ago that we actually meet at different shows. Yeah. I mean, we love engaging with our people. So
yeah, and our people, like there's this guy that has – we met at in New York at a hot sauce festival that we were at a couple months ago that I've been talking to for 4 years now, Alan Fry, who is just so sweet, and he was so excited to meet us. And those are the kind of fans that we have and
right.
that we will always continue to have. He was blogging about us 4 years ago when we had 2,000 Facebook fans.
Yeah.
And he walked up to us and we recognized him. Because I've seen his picture
for four years
on his blog.
Know him on,
And we recognized him and we knew his shirt size and had a shirt ready for him. And he was so ecstatic to see us. And we love that.
Yeah.
So, and those are the kind of fans we have. And those are the kind of fans we want to keep having.
Well, and we want to be approachable. I mean, we want to have fun with you guys. Yeah. We want to come sit in a crazy dark basement with
that's
a podcast that we sponsor. You
yeah.
know, it's,
yeah.
We're
yeah.
down to earth people and we right. absolutely love talking yeah. to people. So it's.
And I can tell you that Don Priamo is an 87-year-old, 5-foot-tall little Mexican guy that I have been to his birthday party for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
He is as sweet as can be. I know his son and two of his daughters. I see them a few times a year. I text him stuff that goes on. He will hear this and know about this. He will see these pictures today and he loves hearing about them. They don't speak
awesome.
English. They speak some broken English, but he loves these stories.
He's passionate about his product.
And
he
loves this.
He's watching it grow.
And he cares about what he's doing. He cares about his product and he cares about his consumers in the U.S. This isn't just, you know,
money
to him.
Right.
And just because it's another country and a different thing doesn't, and far, far away, it's still real to him.
Well, and I can relate to that. You want to see your product succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to see it. I mean, here with the podcast, like Brent mentioned, there's a lot of people that send us stuff that want to sponsor us. And yeah, we did chase the sponsorship and that was on Brent's part. But now we've created this bond, where we feel you guys are awesome to us. You know what I mean? We need sauce to give to people. You send it to us, you know, and you guys have taken care of us. And we see that just being somebody that you guys sponsor, that we're helping promote a product that is an awesome product. But the family and the tightness of everything and the following that you guys have is awesome, because it's actually helping drive people to us, because there's people that know about the hot sauce and like, oh, you guys like that too? Great. Like, I'm on board,
right,
you know? So,
right.
You know, it's a well-rounded thing, and it's been fun.
People love it. Like, yeah, it's not hard to be like, hey, try this. It's good.
Yeah.
Yep. Now I like it. You know what I mean? That's, yeah. That's
yeah.
It is good. You're right. Thanks. Like, yeah.
And Brent's right.
It's
because
not a hard sell.
Yeah.
I like the sauce. Like, it's in my cupboard. I use it. I put the black on hamburger and steak. I love it. And the black's not so hot even after you barbecue it, to where the kids can eat it, you know, and they like it. But we get people like, oh yeah, the LU Kiteko, I got it. And we're like, cool. And they're like immediately, hey, you need to try this. And we're like, nope.
I just sent someone nope.
Yeah. I mean, I just said,
I'm
way.
Not cheating. And I just left it at that.
And this has nothing to do with a sponsorship. You know what I mean? The product has become the salesman. And that's a good thing.
Well, I jokingly told Sarah, because she invited us to the hot sauce convention, and I said, why would I go to that? I don't understand.
Yeah, you're
that.
Just putting you know, it's like going to the strip club.
Yeah, I'm going to the strip club for hot sauce. I'm not doing that. I got my triple X. I'm good. Yeah, there's no need for that business.
Yeah. We don't need to search for other sauces.
No, I found it. I'm good.
Yeah, I do want to watch people die eating the Reaper pepper, though.
That sounds like fun, yeah. Great. Maybe Sunday we can pull that off.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm picturing a lot of grown ass men
in hot sauce
weeping
t-shirts.
With like snot and drool running out of their face just while they eat these peppers.
Women. Just as
many.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
women
wow.
Is there any women with peppers. Hot sauce holsters though? Or do they have a hot sauce satchel?
No, but they do wear necklaces that have pretzels on them.
I see
pretzels?
Us going.
What is that about?
They come prepared they dip. With food to dip. Dip.
Yeah, to dip.
Oh, they like hot sauce and pretzels.
Yeah, so
see, I see.
Pretzel necklaces.
Do they get a disposable dip, or is there a community dip that could get like pretzel neck dip?
Well, no, if you just get. No, you can't double dip. You can't double dip.
There's no double dipping.
Neck pretzels.
So I see me and Brent getting
like
kicked
breaking
out.
Breaking their pretzel.
This is what I see happening. Me and Brent getting kicked out because we're standing by somebody else's booth offering them El Yucateco. Like, you tried that, but you really no, sir, stop talking, sir. You really need to try this.
Honestly,
like,
though, we're all friends there. I mean, you get there,
you won't be
and
after we're there.
Everybody's family at this. Every hot sauce has tried everybody else's hot sauce. Everybody's super nice. We're friendly between each other.
To your
like,
face, then they walk away. They're all ketchup.
No idea.
El Yucasucko.
It could be. It could happen. Yeah. I don't know, but I feel like they're my friend.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You're just that type of person.
Sarah's
that's
so
not
sweet
what's
and
happening.
Innocent. Yeah. They're all bitches.
And Amy's there like, Amy's funny because she just lets her think that and she knows what's really happening. You know, like,
she's all, oh, like, how cute. Sarah thinks they like her.
Yeah. Sarah thinks like, guess what? Yeah. Guess what? We're burning them today. Their stand's burning down. Yeah. No, that's great. No, it was awesome to have you guys. We shot through an hour of recording. No problem. You guys.
It's almost float time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, now you have to think about it. What's the timeline? 1 hour ahead. You guys think that far ahead?
They don't even know.
They're like, we don't care.
They're just rolling with it.
You want to shout out the sponsors? El Yucateco, obviously. This is a sponsor.
We forgot
episode.
To shout out El Yucateco.
It's fine. They're here.
The whole episode that counts?
The whole episode is here.
I don't have to edit it.
Yeah, so El Yucateco, obviously. If you haven't tried the hot sauce, easiest place, go to Walmart right now. If you have a Mexican, I don't know, the Mexican stores might be harder in certain areas, huh?
You feel way cooler if you get it there, though.
Yeah. So go get you a bottle or five.
They have it at Target, too.
Target. Yeah, it's everywhere, man.
You know what the difference is? The Mexican markets generally have all the flavors. Walmart will be limited to like four.
You won't get the Caribbean at Walmart. You won't get the jalapeno.
Yeah, green and red.
Target's about to have the triple hot.
Nice.
Ooh,
that's important.
We'll be excited.
You'll see on the shelf up there, triple X is gone.
Because this is.
I give that away first.
Yeah, and this is the thing, though. Like, Brent goes through the bottles of that. We get cases from you guys to give out. We have access to it. Brent still goes and buys bottles of the hot sauce. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
I ran out last round and went and bought it on my own.
Yeah.
I was checking out. I bought the cashier a bottle. I've done that twice now where like, they're like, damn, you buy a bunch of this. I was like, yeah, we have a podcaster sponsored. I was like, but I give it away. And then we ran out. So I'm just buying it myself. He's like, you buy it to give it to people? And I was like, yep,
there you go.
And I wrapped the receipt around it and handed it to him. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I try. I wanted to get a picture, but the line's always crazy in there. So I didn't want to hold up the line.
So El Yucateco, obviously, Salt 7, where they are going next to do the deprivation tanks.
Kevin and, Brewster for saving our butt with stickers that Amy didn't even notice. Yeah. But
it's all right.
We're going to make her. It was she has us. To gaze upon them for like 5 seconds.
It was for us. Out, yeah. Yeah.
I was impressed. I gaze.
She's just going to joke and go, yeah. They're backwards. No, stupid.
No. What's that say? Bulk, bulk.
Yeah. It's just a 16th of an inch.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Well, see, yeah. Aren't you glad that I didn't notice? Because Sarah did and is telling yeah. you what's wrong with them.
Right. Well, Brad just went and got the level and made sure that yeah. I was right.
Yeah. I noticed it. But, left. You know, I wasn't here to take care of things, and that's what happens when you let these guys do your you do something you should have done.
It's razor blade. Better that I just yeah. didn't notice.
Yeah. So, thanks.
Forgetting. Thank you to Digital Creations for making our swag. Thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com for the jerky. That merged with El Yucateco.
And soon I'm staying in your home in Mexico. Yes.
We just need like a small mini mall that has Yucateco, a float center, a print options, yeah. and escape a podcast room. Right in the middle. Yeah.
And an escape room
in the middle yeah. of that. Yeah.
They're not sponsors, but they are our friends. They're cool. So
they're awesome.
I'm trying to help them
out.
Yeah.
Thank you to Escape Room for putting an employee in there on a day off and bringing us in.
And who Even though we killed it.
We crushed it.
Yeah, we did crush it.
We crushed it.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, don't tell
anybody. No spoiler alerts. We crushed it.
We did kill that.
34 minutes.
So we got Printer. Who else we got? Oh, Dan Camarillo for Jiu-Jitsu. Thank you for letting us choke people and not get arrested. That really helps me out.
He filmed a commercial for you guys on his own time.
He did do that. Yeah. Yeah.
How have we not seen this?
It's still in production.
I'll get it to you guys. He actually does do video work for his instructional jiu-jitsu stuff. So it's probably going to be pretty high level.
The funny thing is, I searched El Yucateco art because, like I mentioned, I'm looking for art for paintwork. And his picture that we have with him with the big standee comes up on Google for whatever reason.
Not us.
So, yeah, it's Dan Camarillo with the standee.
It's because he's famous already, so some analytics thing happens. But so he filmed him and his friend trying to make Taco Bell better than Taco Bell using El Yucateco, and did it work? I think the answer is yes, because I did it 6 times this week.
Yeah.
At 2 a.m., unfortunately, after studio work. So
thank you. And that's pretty much it. Yep. Anything else to add? You guys get everything out?
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. It was awesome. Thanks.
That's it.
Is that it? All right. Don't be a retard.
Couch, holding the remote, flipping channels. I'm a rebel, eating a bowl of them fruity pebbles, fruity pebbles, fruity pebbles. How gangsta is that? Not gangsta at all. Oh, you judging me, dog? Please, you shop at the mall. Me, I shop at boutiques, limited quantities, sneaks. Where do these quantities be? Maybe they all on my feet, but I don't get it though. About a year ago, you said my gear was whack, nigga. Now my gear is dope. I guess it goes full circle like a Cheerio, cause you rocking what I was rocking like a year ago. You said my chain was lame, then you go and get a rope. You clown jokesters pose for poser posters. Told you when I woke up, hold it like holsters and stop while I fold the rest of my clothes up. I love the hypocrites hating until you make it whack. Swagger jackers, but my steeds ain't for the taking.
Nigga, you still playing Sega? I'm cooler than that guy.
No red monkeys with the vapesters.
I'm cooler than that guy.
What you riding on that bike for?
I'm cooler than that guy.
Does that belt say Star Wars?
I'm cooler than that guy.
My old jeans ain't sagging.
I'm cooler than that guy.
You ain't smoking on the dro, cuz
I'm cooler than that guy.
Where your stunner shades at, dog?
I'm cooler than that guy.
And y'all niggas ain't got no book.
I'm cooler than those guys.
I'm in the crib Saturday night with my Sega. That's right. Playing the game of that Street Fighter. Street Fighter. Street Fighter. I guess that makes you think you're cooler than me. But any girl you could pull, I could pull them with ease. Like the letter after D, not ecstasy. It's easy to me. Yes, yes, indeed. It's hard to believe, but swallow it. So much game that I could put it in a bottle and sell it to lames. And getting graphics in your fade was fresh in the day, but it was jacked by the losers. I'm about to say screw it and grow a Jerry curl, wear a diaper like Cupid or something else stupid, and see if people do it. If they do, then
that proves it. People are just losers, and they'll do anything if someone cool do it, but they won't do it first. So I guess they not cool, and it's the end of the verse. So I'm chucking that dude. Nigga, you still playing Sega? I'm cooler than that guy. No red monkeys with the babesters. I'm cooler than that guy. What you riding on that bike for? I'm cooler than that guy. Does that belt say Star Wars? I'm cooler than that guy. Why your jeans ain't sagging? I'm cooler than that guy. You ain't smoking on the dro, cuz I'm cooler than that guy. Where your stunner shades at, dog? I'm cooler than that guy. And y'all niggas ain't got no book. I'm cooler than those guys.